We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Gevias Choiv Mehalakuchos, Vehilchos Apoitaki, Halacha Hei, Paragraph Zion. We're speaking about loans and debts, and Rav Nosson Zal explained a little bit what causes people to get into debt, and he was explaining the topic of why, when there is a debt, the lien that the lender has on the borrower usually applies only to property, only to land, things like that. This is what we discussed at length earlier in this halacha, and this is not the first time Rav Nosson Zal gave an explanation for it. And now we're going to continue. In this next paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal is going to discuss three things that a person can do to take something out of a lien, where that item becomes immune to having a lien put on it. V'zeh b'chinas hektish chometz v'shichrur moitzin midei shibud. Based on what we're learning here, we'll be able to understand why the Gemara tells us that these three categories are excluded from having a lien put upon them. One is if the borrower takes something and declares it hektish, he donates it to the Beis Hamikdash, then that item is excluded from the lender being able to go after it, you know, to get back his money, the loan. The second thing is chametz on Pesach is excluded from any lien, a box of whiskey, something like that. And the third thing is if the borrower owned slaves, servants, and they were included, servants are considered like property according to the Torah. And if the lien, if the lender would want to collect the loan by taking one of those servants, if the borrower frees the servant, he's meshachrer him, then that servant is no longer, can no longer be taken by the lender, you know, for the loan. Ki elu hashloisho heim bechinas tikun shloisho avoides hanal shemafsidenes hatfila. Because these three categories correspond to the three types of sins that we discussed previously, which weaken prayer, shemishom bo hashibud vohaavdus kanal. And we know that when there's a weakness, when there's a defectiveness or a deficiency in prayer, that's what causes servitude. That's what causes debts and those kind of things, as we discussed earlier. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to show the connections. The three sins were idol worship, adultery, and murder. And one of the forms of murder is insulting somebody, embarrassing somebody. The Gemara says that when a person insults someone in a serious way, they spill their blood. The person turns red and white as if they were killed. There's an expression to die of embarrassment. Ki hektish zebechinas tikkun ha'emuna. When a person declares something hektish, he donates it to the Beis Hamikdash, that represents the tikkun of faith, which is the opposite of idol worship. Shehi bechinas kodesh. Faith is also referred to as holy. Kama shekosavnu b'mokem acher, as we've discussed this in other places in our teachings, Bechinas, Rabbeinu Zal quotes the pasuk, Ve'im kedoshim ne'emon, and with holy ones, trustworthiness. In this pasuk, we see emuna and kadosh put together, that emuna and kedusha go together. Ki hektish hu bechinas avoidois habeis hamikdosh, because declaring something hektish means that that item is included in the service of the Beis Hamikdash. The term avoida is the term that Rabbeinu Zal uses in the chapter in Likutei Moran that this halacha is based on. When he refers to tefillah, tefillah is called avoida. The Gemara says, Ezehu avoida shebelev. What is the avoida that one does, the service that one does with his heart? That's tefillah. And Rabbeinu Zal also shows over there in Likutei Moran that these three sins avoda zara, idol worship, and adultery, sins with women, and murder are also referred to as avoda. They're called avoda from the other side. So hekdesh is associated with the avoda is habeis hamikdash, the service in the beis hamikdash, shemishom ikar aliyas hatfila. And we know the place from which all prayers go up to heaven is the beis hamikdash. We know that Jews all over the world, when they pray the most important prayer, Shmon Esrei, they face Eretz Yisrael, they face Yerushalayim, they face the Beis HaMikdash. That's where all prayers go up from. The Zohar HaKadosh says that every prayer, before it goes up to heaven, makes two stops. One is the location of the Beis HaMikdash, the other one is the Moreh Samachpelah, the Cave of Four Couples, where Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov are buried, who are the founders of official tefillah, Shachris, Mincha, and Arvus. Ki hekdish, Rav Nosson Zal explains now, because the term hekdish, hainu kedushas haguf, that refers to a level of holiness where the actual physical body becomes holy. When I declare an animal as hekdish, that animal, that cow, that lamb becomes holy. You're not allowed to use that lamb anymore for any personal needs or anything like that. Kegoin shoer lekorban, for example, an ox that's designated for a sacrifice. Shehu avoidois habeis hamikdosh. This is an example of the service in the Beis Hamikdosh. Sheshom ikruhu emuna. And the Beis Hamikdosh is the main center of faith in the world. Shehu Klolius Hakdusha, which represents the full spectrum of holiness. A to Z of holiness is included in the term faith. We know there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Kol Mitzvoisecho Emuna. All the mitzvahs are about faith. They're all an expression of faith. Bechinas, as we find, there's a pasuk that says, Mikdosh Hashem Koinenu Yodecha. The Mikdash, the sanctuary of Hashem, was established by your hands. And we know that the hands represent faith. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was leading the battle against Amalek, Vayehi Yodov Emuna, his hands were outstretched in a display of faith, in prayer to Hashem, which is a display of faith. V'alkein shom ikra haliyas hatfila. And because of the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is the center of holiness, it's the center of faith, that's why that's the place from which all prayers go up to heaven. K'mo shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, ki beisi beis tefila. Hashem says, my house will be a house of prayer. Ki tikkun hatfila al yedei emuna. Because the main thing that really establishes prayer is faith. Shehu hohepech hoavoidezoro vakfirus, which is the opposite of one of those three sins we mentioned earlier, idol worship. Shehem bechinas avoida de sitrachra, which is the service of the other side, the opposite side, shemafsides hatfila, which damages, which decreases the power of prayer. So Rav Nosson Zal showed us how hekdish, the term hekdish, Beis HaMikdash, is all about emuna tefillah, which is avoda. That's the avoda of holiness, which is the opposite of avodah zara. The chametz and chametz on Pesach, hu bechinas tikun gilui arayis. That represents the correction of sins with women. Shehu sitra demoisa. The Zohar HaKadosh refers to those sins as an association with death, with the angel of death, with tuma. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, ragleho yordois moves. Her feet go down into the place of death. We know that the woman is referred to as Malchus, the sphere of Malchus, which is the lowest one of the Midos of Hashem. It's the one that's closest to the tumah, to the sitra achra, to death. So the pasuk says, "Ragleho yordos mavis." So when a Jew commits a sin with women, in thought, in speech, in action, that's stepping into mavis. That's stepping into this sitra achra. Shehu bechinas isur chametz. And we know that the avera of eating chametz is also associated with death. Bechinas, as the pasuk says in the Torah, kol machmetzes lo sochelu. You're not allowed to eat chametz. The word chametz in the Chumash, it's called machmetzes. The word machmetzes has the word chametz in the middle, and it has a mem on the right and a tuf on the left. Mace. Chametz, mace. And the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, tamon chametz, tamon mace. Where there is chametz, there is death. Chametz on Pesach represents death. As the Zohar HaKadosh explains, ki ikar zois hataiva bo al yedei chimutz hamoyach. Because all sins that are related to women, to a wrong type of relationship, a forbidden relationship between men and women, it all starts in the mind, in thought. It comes about through chimutz hamoyach, a spoilage, a souring of the person's brain. That's the terminology that's used in the Torah, which allows the person to start going out of the box. In the box is your own wife, a kosher relationship with women. Out of the box, when the brain sours, it spoils, it goes out. It goes out into foreign domains. Shehu bechinas chometz. Again, this term chimutz hamoyach, a spoilage in the brain. That's the terminology that's used for gilia, for sins with women, and that's chometz. Kemuva b'hatoyra b'chatzoitzrois. As Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in chapter 5 in Likutei Moran. V'alkein isur chometz b'pesach. The fact that Hashem has declared chometz as being forbidden to us on Pesach, shehu lahachnia ulevayer chimutz hamoyach, which is in order to help us correct and eliminate any spoilage in the brain, any chimutz hamoyach, levatel zois hataiva, to help us eliminate sinful thoughts and going out of bounds in the area of relationships with women. Sheze bechinas tikkun gilui arayis. That's the concept of the tikkun for this sin of gilui arayis. So Rav Nosson Zal is showing us the parallel between the three categories which are excluded from liens in financial issues, how they correspond to the three sins that harm tefillah, to the three avodas. V'shichrur, and freeing a slave, ze bechinas al tehiboz l'chol adam. That corresponds to what Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likutei Moran about a Jew rising to a level where they don't insult anybody, they don't look down on anybody. Shehu hepech shfichas domim, which is the opposite of murder, of spilling someone's blood, insulting somebody, embarrassing somebody, which is like killing them. The Torah considers that like killing them, spilling their blood. As Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutei Moran, in Torah Aleph, in the second half of Likutei Moran, which this halacha is based on. Because again, a person who's really living this the right way would not even insult or despise his slave, his servant. As the pasuk says in Eov, chapter 31, Im emas mishpat avdi? Would I despise the justice of my slave, of my servant? Ki bevadai kishemeshachrer avdoi, because most certainly, when a person makes a decision to free his slave, hu bishvil eze nachas ruach she'osaloi, usually it's because it's an expression of gratitude and appreciation for something that the slave did. Wow, you saved my life. Wow, you did something so special. For this, I'm going to free you. Vafilu she'avdoi meshubadloi. So that even though the slave is indebted to him, it's his slave, he owes his life, he owes his everything. Viafal pikein, and despite that, Einoi mevazoi soi. The owner does not insult him. He doesn't look umeshachara. He goes ahead and frees him. He wants to make him a free man, equal to the owner. Shezeo bechinas al tehi boz l'cholodom. This is the fulfillment of what Rabbeinu Zal writes the Likutei Moharan about not insulting any human being, not degrading any human being. Nimtzo, we see therefore, she'elu hashloisha, that these three categories that the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch tell us are exempt, are excluded from liens, hektish, v'chometz, v'shichrur, heim ha'hepech mi'sholosh avoydes nal. They are the opposite of the three types of sins, the three wrong avoydes that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about there in Likutei Moharan, sheheim mafsidin avoydes hatfila, which work against prayer. Al kein, and that's why heim mafkiin midei shibud. These three are excluded from a lien. Shebo alidei pigam hatfila, because we learned earlier what causes people to be in debt, what causes people to have to borrow when there's a deficiency in tefila. If a person's tefila were perfect, they'd be getting everything from Hashem. They wouldn't, certainly would not have to come on to anybody else. Shebo al yedei sholosh avoydes hanal. And we know that a deficiency, a defectiveness in tefillah is caused by these three types of sin that we mentioned, the avoydes zorah, the gilui arayos, and the shfichas damim. Shemishom ikar hashibud. And that's really, those are the ones that cause people to get into debt, people to have a lien on their possessions, that kind of thing. Okay, with this, Rav Nosson Zal closes this part of the halacha, this explanation. Now he's going to open a whole new topic, the topic of Purim, and connect it, attach it to what we've been learning about till now. Again, still attached to this chapter one in the second half of Likutei Moharan, and connected to what we've been discussing about so far. Paragraph Ches. V'zeh b'chinas Purim shehu lahachnia ulevatel klipas homon amolek b'kol dor v'dor b'chol shona v'shona. Now we're going to discuss the holiday of Purim, which is all about defeating and eliminating the tumah of homon amolek in each and every generation, every single year. This is one of the most basic concepts in Chassidus, that's discussed very prominently in Chassidish Sforim, for a Jew to know that every time that a holiday comes around, a Jewish holiday, it's not just that we're remembering something that happened thousands of years ago, but rather that every year, when the calendar spins around to that holiday, to Purim, all of the special effects, all of the events that took place on Purim a few thousand years ago, are reenacted. Haman rises up again, Haman Amalek, and there's Mordechai and Esther doing battling against them and defeating them. And to the degree that a Jew is aware of that, and to the degree that a Jew tries to participate in that by preparing for the holiday and keeping all the mitzvahs of the holiday properly, that person is playing an active role in helping the tzaddikim, the heroes, Mordechai and Esther, succeed in defeating Haman Amalek in the year 2012, 2014, in Tafshin Ayin Dalit, in whatever year we're in. It's brought in Sforim, in Holy Sforim, that the Gemara says that 30 days before a holiday, you're supposed to study the laws of that holiday and start preparing for the holiday, getting involved in the holiday. So one of the, I believe it's the Bnei Yisachar who brings, I don't know if he says this on his own or he quotes one of the earlier tzaddikim, who says that we want to destroy Haman, we want to destroy Amalek b'machshava b'dibur b'maisa, in thought and speech and in action. Because again, the word Amalek is another word for the Yetzahara, for evil. All forms and shapes of evil are all included in the term Amalek. So we want to destroy him on three levels. B'machshava, dibur, and maisa. We're doing battle against Amalek. The word Amalek is bigamatria 240. 240 times 3 is 720. Exactly. And therefore, 30 days times 24 hours gives us 720 hours. We have, during these 720 hours before Purim, we're preparing ourselves. We're working at eliminating Hamon Amalek b'machshava dibur ha'maisa. And now, this is one of about 50 places in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal explains what is Hamon Amalek. What is it really, and how does it apply to us today? Ki Hamon Amalek yemach shemom heim ha-hepech mikol hatikunim ha-ne'morim ba-toiranal. Because Hamon Amalek is the opposite, is the antithesis of all the good things that are discussed in this chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 1 in the second half of Likutei Moran, She'al yodom zoichin lechoiz bekisei hakovod. Rabbeinu Zal over there, in the beginning of that chapter in Likutei Moran, he explains that the mission of a Jew in life is to achieve a status above the angels, to rise above the angels. And Rabbeinu Zal says, in doing that, you need to know that they're not necessarily going to be so happy about it. The angels get jealous of a person who tries to jump ahead of them. Just like the Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to get the Luchos, the angels said, "Hey man, where are you going? Ma li yelud isha beinenu? How dare a human being born to physical parents come?" The word beinenu means among us. The word beinenu also means between us. How dare you try to get between us and Hashem? We know what you're really trying to attain. You're trying to attain what a Jew, and especially a tzaddik, is supposed to try to attain, which is to get closer to Hashem than the angels. The angels are sitting in the back and he's sitting in the front, and the angels are asking him, what did Hashem say? This is an actual pasuk. It says in the future there's going to come a time, when the angels are going to be saying to the Jews, what's Hashem doing? What's Hashem saying? Because the Jews, the real Jews, are going to be closer to Hashem than the angels. But Rabbeinu Zal says there, that's dangerous. Because the Gemara says there that the angels started shooting fire at Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, answer them. Come on, they're asking a question, answer them. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to engage them in a debate. They'll burn me. Hashem said, have no fear. Echoiz bekisei kvoidi. Grab onto my throne and then talk to them. You're holding onto my throne. You're covered. You're protected. Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likutei Moran explains that holding on to the throne of Hashem means attaching yourself to all 600,000 souls of the Jewish people. Because that's what makes up the throne of Hashem, the glory of Hashem. The Gemara says that all the souls were carved out from under the throne of Hashem. So the Kisei HaKovoy, the glory, the throne of Hashem is, so by the tzaddik attaching himself to all the Jewish souls, he don't have to be afraid of no angels, nobody can harm him. And Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this over there. This is obviously one of the reasons why the Arizal says that when we are engaging in prayer, in tefillah, before a person davens, because when we're engaging in prayer, we are trying to achieve the closest connection to Hashem possible. Rabbeinu Zal says that the ikar dveikus to Hashem is tefillah, which means, again, we're trying to jump way ahead and over the head of the angels. Before you do that, it's very good to say, Hareini mekabel olai mitzvah saseh shel v'yahavta l'reicha kamoicha. I hereby accept upon myself the mitzvah of loving every Jew as I love myself. The Arizal says when you do that, what you're doing is you're holding hands with all 600,000 Jews. You're attaching yourself. You're saying, this isn't me. This is us. It's all about us. We, the six, I'm presenting my prayer to Hashem as a member of a community of 600,000 souls. And then the angels cannot get in the person's way. She'al yodom zoichin lechoiz bekisei hakovod. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Hamon Amalek are the opposite, the antithesis of all the good things that are mentioned over there in that chapter in Likutei Moran, through which a person gets to a level where they can hold on to the throne of Hashem. Through which a person can be privileged that his kingdom should remain solid. He should be able to rule over the angels. Not have to be afraid of the angels, not be subservient to the angels, but rather he rises above them. Just like the Gemara tells us about Adam HaRishon, that when Adam HaRishon, before the sin of the Eitz Hadas, the angels were roasting meat for him, the angels were cooling wine for him. They were serving him, they were subservient to him. Kemavoy Rasham, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 1, in the second half of Likutei Moran, Ayin Shom Heitev. Study that chapter well, Meroish HaTorah Ad Soifa, from the beginning to the end. Because Rav Nosson Zal is going to touch on different points here that are explained well. The foundation of it is that chapter of Likutei Moran. Ki Amolek Kolol Mikol HaKlipois VaSitron Achronim. Because Amalek is a composite of all different forms of evil. He's all of them, all in one. Shekol koichom nimshach mikinas hamalochim. Whereby the whole power of the sitrachra of the other side comes from this jealousy, this envy that the angels have, that it's hard for them to swallow that a human being can rise above them. They want to try to knock the person down so that the person should not become their boss, an authority over them. That was also the cause of the sin of Adam HaRishon, which brought death and destruction to all generations. How did it come about? Shehoyo al yedei kinas hamalochim. It came about through the jealousy that the angels had for Adam HaRishon. Shehiskanu boy harboy. They were very envious of him. Al shehoyu royim gidulosoy, over the fact that they saw his greatness. Shehoyu hamalochim tzoylen loybosor, where angels were barbecuing meat for him. Umetzanen en loyayin, and cooling wine for him. Viniskanuboy, and they became envious of him, ad sherochav hasamachmem, to the point where the angel of death, the samachmem, rose up and did what he did to try to bring Adam HaRishon down. Now, there's an obvious question that I've been asked in the past. What do you mean? Do angels have free choice? Do angels have jealousy? The answer is obviously there is some element. There is some potential for an angel to experience this type of thing, a concept of envy. Obviously, it's not the same as us, because angels aren't human. They're not materialistic, they're not physical. But this is the terminology that the Torah uses, kinas hamalochim, the envy, the jealousy of the malochim. Kimoisha amar Rabbi Seinuzal, as our rabbis tell us. V'chein b'chol doyer v'doyer. And the same thing holds true in every generation, including us. Iker koyach hasamachmem v'cheloisov haroitzim lahachti esodom ulapiloich hasashom. The main motivation for the Yetzahara, for the Satan, the samachmem, to cause us to commit sins and to knock us down, nimshach mikinas hamalochim, comes from this jealousy, this envy. That was the first problem in the creation of the world, right? That the snake was envious of Adam HaRishon, wanted to take Chava away, Cain and Hevel. This is the story of the world. This is history. This is the whole story of the world. The Vayikanoboy, the brothers of Lahavdil, the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik. And this is what the whole concept of the Jews versus all the nations of the world. Rav Nosson Zal writes in Likutei Tfilos, when he prays for Hashem to protect us and save us from the Goyim, Rav Nosson Zal says there, Hashem, you know perfectly well, you know why they hate us. It's based, they're jealous of us. The fact that we have a Torah and they don't. And whether it's obvious or not obvious, whether it's, you know, sublime, whether it's deeply hidden, but that's what's really behind it. It's all about a jealousy. Umishom yenika samolek. And that's where Amolek draws his power from. Shekolul mikol haklipois. Amolek is a composite of all the forms of tumah, shehim bechinas sorei hashivum akum, which are represented by the leaders, the representative angels of the 70 nations, shekolul mikulam, of which Amolek is a composite of all of them. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, reishis goyim Amolek. Amolek is the leader of all the goyim. Kemuva b'makom acher, as we explained in other places. Vehu choiter tomid lekalkel kol hatikunim hamavayorim sham. And Amalek is constantly digging and trying to do everything in his power to destroy all the tikunim that Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in that chapter in Likutei Moran, she'al yodom yecholem lechoiz bekisei hakovod, which would enable a person to grab onto, to hold on to the throne of Hashem, lehinotzel mikinosam, and thereby be saved from being harmed by this envy of the angels. Kimavoy Rasham, because Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, shehatikun hu al yedei yira, that one of the main ingredients that a person needs, one of the main qualities that a person needs to succeed in this battle with the angels and everything, is yira, respect for Hashem, fear, holy fear. Shehu bechinas binyan Yerushalayim. That's also the concept of building Yerushalayim. The word Yerushalayim is Yira Sholem, complete respect. Shezoichen lozeh, and Rabbeinu Zal shows over there on the Likutei Moran that the way we achieve that is al yedei sholosh regolim, by showing the proper respect for the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, Shemachnin Hasholosh Taivos, which help us defeat the three major desires: the desire for women, the desire for food, the desire for money. Shehein Bechina Sholosh Mishmoros Shel Halayla, which correspond to the three sections of the night. The night is divided into three sections. The Gemara says in the beginning of Brachos, Shloisha Minei Choshech. Three flavors of darkness, three types of darkness. Shehem, which are Taivas Momoin, the Taivas Niuf, the Taivas Achila. The wrong type, a sinful type, an excessive desire for money, for women, and for food. The Amolek Behepech Mikol Zeh. And Amolek is the opposite of all the different levels of holiness that are listed over there in Likutei Moran. Amolek is the opposite of all of them. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, when Amalek came to attack the Jews, it says, "Velo yorei Elokim," and you did not have respect for Hashem. There was a lack of yira. Kihu mizgaber betayvas achila, because we know one example is Amalek is all about tayvas achila. Bechinas, halitenino hanemar be'esav, as the pasuk says, when Esav came in during the Shiva, when they were sitting Shiva for Avram Avinu, Esav came in, his first words, he didn't say, feed me, he said, shovel it in, shove it down, boys, you know, he wanted to open his mouth wide and not use a spoon, put a shovel in. He couldn't get it in, he couldn't get enough food. Halitenino, like you feed a camel, the Gemara says, that kind of food, which is written about Esav, from whom Amalek is a descendant. V'alkein chotar habaldovor lahachshlas Yisrael bepegam achila. And this is why during the time of Mordechai and Esther, the Satan, the Yetzirah, worked very hard to get the Jews to fall into a sin regarding eating. Shehuma shehenenu misudas Achashverosh, which was their participation in the banquet of Achashverosh. Shaydezeh his gaber Haman Amalek. That's what gave strength and power to Amalek, to Haman. V'chein taivas niuf al yodoi. And so too we know that the sinful desire for women also comes from Haman Amalek. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, again when it speaks about Amalek coming to attack the Jews, asher korcho baderech. He came upon you when you were traveling. The word korcha is miloshin keri. Keri refers to a sinful type of emission, chas v'shon, pigam abris, kayadua, as is known in all the sforim. V'chein taivas mamoin, and homon amolek also represents the wrong type of desire, excessive desire for money. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says, v'lachoite nosan inyan le'esoy felichnois. And to sinners, Hashem made it their job, their thing is to gather, to more, they want more, they always want more, more money. The Gemara says, ze homon, that refers to homon. As Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in chapter 56 in Likutei Moran. And the solution to all of this, to all of these tivus and everything, are the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Shekulam heim zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim, which all celebrate the fact that we left Egypt. Va'amolek hu ha'hepech me'ashloish regolim. And Amolek is the opposite of these three holidays. Ki hu shekoifer biyetzias Mitzrayim. Because Amolek showed, these holidays show that we're really impressed with the fact that Hashem took us out of Egypt. Egypt was a place that was so locked up, the Gemara says, for hundreds of years, not one servant ever escaped from Egypt. And Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu led the Jews out of Egypt in broad daylight, 600,000, after wiping the floors with Paroi and all of his jazz, all of his junk. So we make a big deal out of it. We celebrate this, we commemorate this. Amalek laughed at it. Amalek said, big deal. I ain't afraid of them. V'alkein hu harishoin shebo lehilochem im Yisrael achar sheyotzu mimitzrayim bo'oiso yisnoiroes. And this is what gave him the chutzpah to be the first one to challenge the Jews right after they came out of Egypt with all of those miracles and everything. Haman says, I don't care, I ain't afraid. Kama shekosu, as the pasuk says, v'yovoi amolek v'yilochem im Yisrael. Amalek came along and did battle against the Jews. U'kemosham Rabbi Seinosal, as the Gemara says, Moshol la'ambati rotachas. This could be compared to a boiling hot bathtub, which everybody's afraid, nobody wants to go in there. Bo ben Belial, one maniac comes along, one crazy person, v'kofatz l'secha, and jumps in, knowing that he's going to get burnt. But it's worth it for him that he's going to cool it off for the next guy, the Gemara says. It was worth it. Amalek knew he was going to get clobbered. He was really going to get hurt. But it was worth it to him to take all of those blows and everything, that now people know the Jews are not invincible. They're not, it's not, the whole world's afraid. You see, there's somebody that wasn't afraid. Ki hu ben Belial v'chotzuf v'azponim kozeh. Because Haman, Amalek, is such an evil, wicked, mechutzuf, person who has such brazenness, afal pi sheroye oisos umoifsim koela, that even after witnessing, seeing those great miracles that Hashem displayed with the Egyptians, einoi roitze lachnia atzmoi neged uemes, he refuses to humble himself to the truth. V'hu hepech avoides hatfila. And therefore, he's also the opposite of prayer. Shemachnia umevatel refuois haroifim badaktoirim, which Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutei Moran, that prayer eliminates the need for doctors and medicines and all of those things. Because the same source from where the medicines get their healing power is where prayer gets its healing power from. Only it's a much shorter trip, less intermediaries. Ki Amalek hu bechinas kfirois v'chakirois ha-philosophia. Because Amalek was known for their atheism and their philosophy, their study of philosophy. Shehu hefech ha-tfilo, which is the opposite of prayer. Kama shekosu b'mokam achra, as we discussed this in other places. Ki hu kolol mikol hasholosh avodos shemafsid avodas hatfila, because Amalek is a combination of all three sins that are opposed, that are the opposite and weaken prayer. Shehem, which are avodah zarah, the gilui arayos, the shfichas damim. Dahainu, meaning, let's go one by one. Dahainu, al tehi boz l'chol adam. We said murder also is embarrassing, insulting somebody, not to insult anybody. That's what a person is supposed to be, right? Ki hu mevaze u mevayesh hakol. And Haman, Amalek, insults Hashem. He spits on Hashem. He makes fun of Hashem, makes fun of the biggest things. Ki hu koifer godol, because he is a great atheist. Shubachinas avodah zarah, idol worship. So again, he's the opposite. He's the ultimate in insulting, because we know the greatest, the one who is most deserving of respect and honor is Hashem. The whole purpose of creation was respect and honor for Hashem, kavod of Hashem. If a person denies Hashem, that's the ultimate in insulting, in lack of kavod. And we showed earlier that Amalek is the source of Gili Arayis. Asher korcho baderech, kerech, keri, pegama bris, comes from Amalek. V'chein shvichas domim, and so too actual murder. Ki bo lehilochem im Yisrael bechinam. Because Amalek came to start up with the Jews for nothing. We didn't do anything to him. We didn't go into his lair. Nothing. He came along of his own initiative to fight, v'lishpoch domam chasham, to murder Jews. Ki hu mevaze kol odom. Because Haman Amalek represents the type of person who insults everybody. Ve'ein shum odom nechshav beinav. Nobody is significant to him. Nobody counts. Nobody is important to him. He has no respect for anybody. Afilu ho'akum v'umoy soilam. Even the other nations. Ki im hoyo nechshav beinav l'klum. Because if Haman would have considered anybody else in the world as significant, having any significance, he definitely would not have come to start up with the Jews after hearing and with seeing that Paro and all of his armies, Shehoyo Melech Adir V'Chozo Kozeh, Paro was so powerful a king, and he had so powerful an army, and despite that, Nichna V'Nofal Lefnei Yisrael Kol Kach, despite that, he crumbled. He ended up becoming subservient to the Jews. Upeh She'omar Mi Hashem, and the same mouth that had the audacity, the chutzpah, to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's Hashem? I Googled him. He ain't there. He ain't in my Google. So who's Hashem? He ain't in my phone book. I got a listing here of all the gods. He ain't there. That same mouth, a couple of months later, said Hashem Hatzadik, that Hashem is righteous and me and my people are off. As the Gemara tells us, Aval Amalek Berishosoy Hagdoila. But this Amalek, with his super evil, loydai shohyosoyin mevazeis Yisrael, wasn't enough. Not enough that he insults and hates the Jews. Afgam paroi v'chol ha'umois hoyemavuzim beinov. Paro and all the other nations were also nothing to him. They're zeros, a bunch of zeros. V'loyhoyin echshav meinov l'klum. He didn't consider them anything. V'omar baliboy. He said to himself, Amalek said to himself, Paroi vavodov heim nivzim ushfolim v'chasurei dea. They're a bunch of morons, a bunch of idiots. Shehichniu atzmam neged Moshe. That they bow down, they submitted to Moshe Rabbeinu. Aval who? But Amalek? Chocham u'mevim b'yoser. He's smarter than all of them. Ve'enoi machnia daite el hemes v'emuna. He's not going to kowtow to the truth of the Jewish people, to the truth of the Torah, or to faith, lahamin b'shum oisum oifois, to believe in any of the miracles, you know, he don't believe in nothing. Ad shebo lehilochem im Yisrael, to the point where he wasn't afraid to come and start up a battle against the Jews. V'ze ikr b'chinas klipas homon, and this is really what the essence of Haman is all about, Haman Amalek, Shebiza HaKoil. It's somebody who makes fun of every, nothing is important to them. Nothing, no respect for anything or anybody. It's not bad enough that he's steeped in all types of evil desires and evil characteristics. On top of that, he has no respect for anybody. As if there's nobody in the world that knows anything compared to him. As the person says, he doesn't consider any person of any value. As we find in the Megillah, when it defines Haman, when it tells us about Haman, it says that Haman saw that Mordechai Tzadik was not bowing to everybody, was bowing to him, bowing down to him. Imagine a human being who would enjoy that, who enjoys seeing everybody bow to him. And just because one person refused to bow, he was prepared to jeopardize everything, to put everything on the line, to take out that person. I'm going to bury him. I'm going to destroy him, no matter whatever it takes. Not only that, but the Megillah says, "Vayivez be'enov l'shloach yod b'Mordechai levadoi." However, Haman considered it too insignificant, like too. It was like it would be insulting to him to squash Mordechai by himself, to step on this cockroach, Mordechai by himself. But rather, I'm not going to squash him. I'm going to squash anything and everyone associated with him. His whole nation, just because he ain't bowing down to me. Hare, we see, Mordechai Tzadik mevuza be'enov kol kach. We see from the wording in the Megillah that Mordechai Tzadik was so insignificant to him, was such a nothing, nobody to him, to the point where it would be beneath him. Haman considered himself beneath him to kill just to kill Mordechai alone. No, it's to waste a bullet on this worm, this cockroach, this nothing. If I'm going to use a bullet already, if I'm going to shoot already, I'll wipe out his whole nation. That's how arrogant. That was his opinion of everybody. It was to that degree that Haman despised Mordechai. And it's for this reason that Haman wanted to rise up and annihilate, wipe out all the Jews. That's murder incorporated. That's real murder. That's genocide. That's Holocaust. Shehu ha-hepich mebechinas al-tehi boz l'choladon, which is the exact opposite of what Rabbeinu Zal teaches us, that a Jew is supposed to be on a level that he doesn't insult anybody, he doesn't look down on anybody. Ki hu bizo ha-koil be-yoyser, because Haman despised everybody to the greatest degree. U-kemevur berishas ha-masira shaloi, Kama Biza is Yisrael. And as we see, when Haman approached Achashverosh with his proposal to give him permission to destroy the Jews, the Gemara analyzes every word that he said was another insult about the Jewish people. Kama Shekosov, the Pasuk says there, he said, Yeshnoi Am Echod, there exists one people, Mefuzar or Mefoirot Bein Huamim, who are spread out among all the nations. And ukimavura bigamora umedroshim. The Gemara and the Medrash analyze every word. He said yeshnoi. Yeshnoi means yoshen. He said their Hashem is asleep. We have nothing to fear in starting up with the Jews because their Hashem is asleep. He said that after 70 years he's going to rest, take them out of exile, and 70 years passed, nothing's happening. He must have fallen asleep on the job. So again, he insulted Hashem. And the Jewish people, they're not even a people. They're spread out. Every people, everybody knows, every people has a country. They have their own place. The Jews are nowhere. They have no place. They're everywhere. They're spread out among all the other nations. They don't even have their own country. They're nothing. V'alkein, Iker pegam hakise hakovoid al yodoi. And therefore, the greatest insult and the greatest opposition to the throne of Hashem, to the holy throne, is through him. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says at the end of Bishalach, ki yod al keisko, Hashem places his hand on his throne to swear that I'm going to get this guy. She'ein Hashem sholem v'kise sholem at she'imoch hazeich ramolik. The Gemara says that the name of Hashem is incomplete and the throne of Hashem is incomplete until Amolek is off the map. Uses ko, not yud kei vav kei, and it says the word case instead of kise. Ki Amolek hu bechinas pegam hakise akovoid al yedei shehu mezgaber lehachti es Yisrael. Amolek represents the opposite of the throne of glory of Hashem by his efforts to cause the Jews to sin. Lekalkel chasishon kol ha-tikunim anal, and to destroy, to undo all the tikunim that Rabbeinu Zal lists in that chapter on the Likutei Moran, she'al yodom oichazin bekisi ha-kovoid, by which we attach ourselves to and we support and strengthen the holy throne of Hashem. Shehu shoroshe nishmas Yisrael, which is the source of all the Jewish souls. Shaydeze shleimus hakise. And that's what makes the throne of Hashem complete. Every Jewish soul, every time a Jewish child is born, it's completing the throne of Hashem. Every time a Jew passes away, dies, it's decreasing the throne of Hashem. We know on a yahrzeit, we say Kaddish. Kaddish, we say, Yisgadal v'yiskadash shmei rabo. May the great name of Hashem, the honor of Hashem, be elevated. What does that have to do with yahrzeit? Because by the fact that this person passed away, a Jew leaving the world, Hashem's honor and glory, Hashem's throne, instead of Hashem having 500 members, now he's only got 499. The kovod of Hashem has been decreased. And we want to make up for that. We want to fill that in by saying these special prayers, by the Kaddish, by the Tikkun people making brachas on food in honor of the yahrzeit, studying Mishnah, all the different mitzvahs that are done in honor of the yahrzeit are all to fill up the deficiency, the defect in the throne of Hashem that was caused by the lessening in the honor of Hashem. The Arizal says that the word Yisgadal is made up of two words, Tagi, Dal. In Aramaic, Tagi means a crown, Dal means lessen, subtracted. The crown of Hashem has been decreased. How? By this Jew passing away, by a Jew passing away. The crown, and we're filling that in by saying the Kaddish, by doing the mitzvahs. Ki kol ma shi Yisrael oichazim shom beyoser. Because the more that the Jewish people hold on to the throne of Hashem stronger, umekashrim atzmon l'shom, and they attach themselves there, how? By doing mitzvahs and maisim toivim and praying in the study of Torah, meirim yoser shoroshe aneshomois. They bring greater light to the source of all the souls, to the throne. V'nishlam v'nigdal hakisei kovoi beyoser. And the throne of glory of Hashem becomes more complete, becomes greater. Ki barovom hadras melech. Because we know the Gemara quotes a pasuk, the larger the nation, the greater honor to the king. That's why in the laws of Purim, it tells us that if you have a choice, which shul to go to for reading the Megillah, there's a shul that has 50 people and a shul that has 100 people. Go to the shul with the 100 people. Unless the 50 people, you can hear the Megillah better, and the 100 people, you won't be able to hear. Unless the 50 are on a higher level than the 100, sometimes you could have one. The Gemara says there was one Jew who was like 600,000, Moshe Rabbeinu. So the tzaddik is compared to a quorum. There's a pasuk, toiv me'at la tzaddik, a little bit by the tzaddik is greater, is more, mehamoin rishoim rabim, than a multitude of rishoim. But again, there is this concept of the more people, every new member that joins, the honor of Hashem becomes increased. V'alkein mascheles hamegillah lesaper mikisei malchus shel Achashverosh. And now you'll understand why the story of Purim, Megillah Esther, begins describing the throne, the great throne of Achashverosh. Kama Shekosov, as it says, Kesheves HaMelech Al Kisei Malchusoi, that when the king was sitting on his throne of kingdom, he decided to make this huge banquet. Ki Kisoi Shel Achashverosh, Shehu Malchus HaRishoh, because the throne of Achashverosh, which is a throne of evil, is the opposite, the antithesis of the throne of Hashem, the throne of holiness. Because Hashem always makes a balance. There's got to be equal opposite forces so that there should be free choice, that there should be a test. V'alkein rotzu lehizgaber bekisei malchus de sitra achra, and this is why Achashverosh and Haman HaMolech wanted to strengthen and glorify the throne of the kingdom of sitra achra, sheloi lahaniach es Yisroel lechoiz bekisei hakovod, and thereby block the Jewish people from attaching themselves to the real throne, to the throne of Hashem. They were offering them this make-believe throne, this joke, with the banquet, with all kinds of wines and all kinds of junk as a replacement for Torah and mitzvahs, for serving Hashem. V'alkein oz hichshilu oisam b'chol ha'kilkulam anal. And this is why, through that, they caused the Jews to stumble, to mess up in all the different areas that we mentioned before. Shehechtiyum b'sudosei shel oisha rasha, they participated in the meal of that rasha, pegam achila, she'oz hiskalkalu biznus, and they also fell into sins with women, k'mo yisham Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, v'chein pogmu be'emuna, and they also showed a lack of faith in Hashem, alidei she'shtachavu latzelem shel Nebuchadnezzar, by bowing to the image of the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, k'mo yisham Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, hakoil kedei lekalkel chas v'shalom hatikun emanal. All of this was being orchestrated to oppose, to destroy the tikkunim that Rabbeinu Zal over there describes in Likutei Moran, kedei shelo yuchlu lesacheis bekisei hakovod, so that the Jews would not be able to hold on to the throne of Hashem and thereby be protected not just from all nations, but be protected from all the angels, even the angels that are envy of us and doing battle against us. We'll hold it over here. This is step one. Rav Nosson Zal is going to build on this and really explain the holiday of Purim with incredible clarity based on that chapter on Likutei Moran.